Welcome to Mosaic Church, and thank you for joining us here online. To prepare for today's message, we encourage you to utilize the Mosaic Cincinnati app. There you can view the message notes, put in prayer requests, and so much more. Enjoy the message.
I don't know about you, but the fact that Jesus is alive really, really, really helps me when life seems out of control. And sometimes it feels like life is out of control on a daily basis. Whether it's just getting the kids to school on time, come on somebody, or getting them dressed. Some of you, you're trying to get your little ones just looking absolutely perfect for church today, and it didn't turn out the way you imagined. And so you didn't even post it on Instagram, right? And life just was out of control. Maybe you lost your temper on the way to church this morning. Hey, it's okay, right? But last year on Father's Day, my son was traveling back to Ohio from Georgia, and he had gotten an opportunity to do a job down there with a friend, and so he's coming back, and he's flying back Sunday morning, and it's Father's Day, and I'm super pumped to see him. And he gets to the airport, and with no advance notice, he shows up, and they're like, your flight's canceled, and you're on your own. And my son is 17 years old at the time. This is his first time flying alone. Now, he's a big boy and he's resourceful, but you know, as a dad, I'm kind of having a freak out moment a little bit because I'm hundreds of miles away. I'm completely out of control. And so I talked to the flight agent there at the desk, and she's like, sorry. And I'm like, what do you mean, sorry, right? And to make it worse, it's right before I have to get up and preach on Sunday morning. And it was just one of those moments where it's just like, oh, I can't fix it. I can't do anything. And so I did what any good dad would do, and I just shelled out more money. You know, right? I mean, it's the dad's spiritual gift to be the ATM. And so I bought him a plane, a ticket on Delta, and got that kid home, you know, but I was frustrated. And what raised the stakes? The fact that he was my son, the fact that it was Father's Day, the fact that I wanted to help, but I couldn't. And I'm a fixer, and it's just my personality. I want to fix things. And so it's really hard for me. But that's kind of a funny, simple story. He got home later that afternoon. I mean, we had a great day, but it was frustrating. But when going through life, you know, we go through things that really just send us for a tailspin. Because we feel out of control. We don't feel like we can manage the situation. We experience real problems. The stakes are high. We're seeking good answers, relevant answers, and we're not getting them. And when we don't get the answers that we need to things that really, really bug us, we feel out of control and lost, right? And we begin to ask ourselves huge questions. It's like it goes from like a simple thing, like, oh, and then we're asking like questions that have to do with like all of existence in the universe. And we're asking ourselves, why am I here? And I feel like something is missing in my life, but I can't even articulate what. And maybe I have everything that I need, but it's still not satisfying my soul. Or maybe I'm wondering why I can't get all the things that I want in life. Or why can't I stop derailing my life with bad choices? Or why is the world so broken? And why would God let that happen to me or to my loved one? And maybe some of the abuse and just things that have gone on in your life. And why is my family so broken? And there's all these big questions. And I don't know about you, but if I can't fix it, I just feel really out of control. And there are certain things that really bring out the frustration. And one of them for me, it's like, you know, you like speak your questions out into the universe, and what do you get? Silence. Or it feels like you picked up the phone and you dialed the universe and you're asking questions, and you get the robot recorded line on the other end. Come on, does that bug anybody else here but me? It's just like every time I get a recording on the other end, I'm about to lose my salvation. Come on. Or a chat bot. I'm like, I know you're not a real person. I want to talk to somebody. Am I the only one that has done this? The day that we live, right? You're like, representative, operator, 000. It's like they haven't even gotten through the list of what the numbers mean. And you're like, 000000 until you just break the whole phone system, right? I use that example to just illustrate. This is what we feel when we feel out of control, right? I want to talk to someone real. I think this example relates really well to the human condition. that we search for answers and we search and search and search. And even our best answers leave us with doubts. And so we take matters into our own hands. We come to a place where we feel like we can only trust ourselves. Have you ever been there? We create conclusions based on our own experiences because what else can be trusted? What else can be trusted? Listen, Jesus stepped into a time when people asked the same types of questions. And when they experienced the same types of doubts, and it felt like at every turn, they're just not sure if they could trust. And much like our time, the world that Jesus stepped into was full of opinions. Man, we're about to go into a season full of opinions. And it gets tiring. And after a while, it just becomes like noise, right? And none of it really satisfies. And so Jesus steps into this world full of opinion and full of all kinds of man-made answers. And people started following him, listening to him, giving up everything to follow him. Because even though they didn't understand everything that he said, something about him just made sense and just seemed right. Some people would listen for a while, and some people would leave. Not everyone liked him, especially the religious elite. He definitely had haters. But to many, they had the sense when they listened to Jesus' words that this is what they were waiting for. And Jesus, he went from town to town. He never stayed anywhere very long. He went from place to place, teaching people, healing people. And the biggest question surrounding Jesus everywhere he went was, who is this man? Who is Jesus? And I would propose to you today that the answer to this question, who is this man, is the answer to all your questions in life. Who is Jesus? And so we're going to look at a true story today in God's word, the Bible. Here at Mosaic, we really believe with all of our hearts that the Bible is God's word. And it really is life for us. And it shows us how to live. And so we're going to look to his word today for answers. And this story today really shows us who Jesus is. John chapter 11. So if you have your Bibles, turn there with me today. There's some notes on your seat, or you can turn into the Mosaic Cincinnati app on your phone. If you want to download that, the notes are there as well, and you can follow along today. I'll be summarizing some parts of the story. Others will read together, but right off the bat in this story in John chapter 11, we see that number one, there is a bigger story at play. When you feel out of control, when you feel like you don't have the answers, when just all life is happening, there's a bigger story. And so we see right off the bat, it says, a man named Lazarus was sick. It says he lived in Bethany with his sisters Mary and Martha. And people sent a message to Jesus from one town to another, and he said, your dear friend Lazarus is sick. And I love this because in just three short statements, he went from a man in a geographical location to a brother in a family to a dear friend of Jesus. And when I read this, it felt like a spiritual GPS, right? That there's the whole globe, there's the whole world and all the problems that are occurring within it. And then it goes to one person in one town, in one family, and Jesus finds that one person and his name was Lazarus. And I just want to encourage you from the get-go today, Jesus knows you, he sees you, whatever you're at, whatever you're going through, God knows. There's a bigger picture. Jesus sees you too. And so they sent this message to Jesus, and there was no text, there was no email, there's no phones. And so someone literally had to take the message and go from Bethany to the town where Jesus was and deliver the message. So let's read in John 11, 3 through 7. It says, Lord, your dear friend is very sick. But when Jesus heard about it, he said, Lazarus's sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. So although Jesus loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. Finally, he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." Wow. So let's think about this. He's going to wait 2 days. Probably wasn't the answer that Mary and Martha were expecting. They're like, you know, they want to get this message to Jesus, and they want Jesus to operate and act on their timetable. But Jesus obviously saw a bigger picture. And I love those words. Although he loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. You see, when you don't understand and when you're out of control, you know, there's just only a few things in life that remain. And one of those things is that Jesus loves you more than you can ever imagine. And sometimes Jesus's delay does not indicate a lack of love or care. He just sees a bigger picture. He sees a bigger picture. And the underlying context to this specific story, and not only this story, but the whole book of John, and your whole life is, what are you going to do with Jesus? You know, many times we're so preoccupied with what happens. Somebody is sick. I'm going through a tough time at work. You know, I don't understand why things are happening to me like they're happening to me. But Jesus is trying to work through our circumstances and what happens to show us who he is. You see, Jesus can be incredibly personal. He can love you. And incredibly big picture all at the same time. Why? Because he's God and he can do that. And so there was a bigger story at play than just the situation of Lazarus and his sisters. You know, Jesus made statements that showed a bigger story all the time. Like in John chapter 10, verse 17 through 18, when he said, "The Father loves me because I sacrificed my life so I may take it back again. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have the authority to lay it down when I want to and also take it up again. For this is what my Father has commanded." When you read verses like that, statements that Jesus made, he's not just some good teacher. He's not just some dude that was born that did good things and taught people to love others. It was bigger than that. He's coming along and he's saying, "I've got the authority to lay my life down and pick it back up when I want." He saw a bigger picture, right? He's not operating on the same timetable as you and me. And so not only was he in the story, but he's the one writing the story. He wasn't just on a mission to help people in their circumstances. He was on a mission to give people himself. Bigger picture. And so he waited 2 days, which no one else understood. The second thing that we see in the story, number two, there are big questions. How many of you want to know that if this was you, you'd have some pretty big questions like, why in the world, Jesus, are you waiting? And so he says to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea," finally, after 2 days. The disciples push back. Why do they push back? Because people had just tried to stone and kill Jesus in Bethany. And they're like, "Do we seriously want to go back there?" And so in response, Jesus gives an illustration about daylight and darkness that we won't get into, but the disciples didn't understand it. They didn't understand what Jesus was trying to say. And so in verse 14 through 16, Jesus says this. So he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there, for now you will really believe. Come, let's go see him." Thomas, nicknamed the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let's go to and die with Jesus." You know, if you know much of the story, you know that Thomas was a doubter. He always had questions, and he just didn't really know if he believed or not. He's the one that when Jesus showed up, after he was raised from the dead, Jesus said, "Come on, Thomas, you know, you can touch the places where the nails were, and you could touch the place in my side where the blood and water flowed." Right? And it was only then when his doubts were completely satisfied. And so Thomas, the doubter, with all these questions, I don't know if it's sarcasm, let's go and die with Jesus, you know, or if he's just acknowledging that there's a cost when you follow Jesus. And the other thing I love is that he's showing us that it's possible to follow Jesus even when you have doubts. And it's okay to have questions. And it's okay to ask those questions. Jesus could handle your questions. But life is better in tow behind Jesus than on your own. All day. Every day. All day. So John 11, 17 through 24 continues. It says, when Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in the grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. But when Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. But Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. Yes, Martha said, he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day. Wow. Let's unpack this. So first of all, it says that Jesus gets there and it's already been 4 days. Already been 4 days. Now, we're reading into this a little bit, but some Jewish scholars and writers at the time had some superstitious beliefs about how many days people were dead. And it was like in the first 3 days, you know, they were just mostly dead. Anybody ever seen Princess Bride? And it's a great movie, and it's like, oh, he's mostly dead. He's not all dead yet. But there were literally people at that time that thought on the fourth day, okay, you're all dead now. Isn't that kind of funny? No biblical basis to that whatsoever, but those were some superstitions and some man-made beliefs that people had at the time. And so 4 days, it's almost like Jesus is just saying, hey, just watch. Just watch what I could do. But Martha and Mary are wrestling with questions about God and death, and they're like, Jesus, if only you had been here. Kind of like when we ask questions like, God, if you really were loving, if you really were all-powerful, if you really were, you know, everywhere at the same time, if you were really in control, then why would you let, and you just fill in the blank, whatever comes to your mind happen, right? So Martha, and you got to love her faith, she responds the best way that she knew how. She really did have amazing faith here. But here's the deal. Jesus had more in store for Martha than the best answers that she could come up with on her own. And I want to encourage you to that today. You might have these big questions in life. And the best answers that you come up with are still leaving a gaping hole in your heart. And you're like, this is the best I got, but I'm really not sure if it's enough. Listen, the story that we're reading is as much about Jesus' effect on the world as it was his effect on Lazarus and his sisters. And Martha, she was just holding on to faith, trusting that Jesus really was who he said he was. But you could just tell it's like there's not much hope left. And so there's big questions. There's a bigger picture. But man, now the next thing we see is that number three, there are real answers. There are real answers. John 11, 25 through 27. So in response to what Martha had just said, Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone, underline that, anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha? Can you imagine being on the other side of that statement? Yes, Lord, she told him. I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God. God. And once again, we see an amazing example of her putting her faith in Christ, although she probably did not understand the full extent of what Jesus had just said. Right? Because Jesus wasn't just about to rise one person, Lazarus, from the dead, which, spoiler alert, Lazarus is coming back to life, so just get ready. He wasn't just about to rise one person from the dead. He was the resurrection. He didn't just personally rise from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead. He is the resurrection and the life for anyone and everyone who puts their faith in him. Did I tell you there's a bigger story? You see, Jesus is showing up and saying, hey, it's me. I am the resurrection and the life. There's no eternal life in heaven without me. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's a bigger story. And that freedom and that life was purchased for you and for me by Jesus' death on the cross. So Jesus didn't just come to change our circumstances. He came to give us himself. Amen? Big questions, but real answers. Real answers. And keep in mind, no one in the midst of this story got exactly the answers they wanted or thought they needed. No, they got Jesus himself. I am the resurrection and the life. And so the fact that you can have the creator of all the universe as your savior and your Lord is the answer to all questions in the midst of every circumstance. Amen? Amen. And so there's a bigger picture. There are big questions. We all have them. But there are real answers. And the last thing that we're going to see in the story is that there's real freedom. There's real freedom. And so Martha goes to get Mary. Mary comes outside of town where Jesus was to see Jesus. And she says the same thing to Jesus. She says, Jesus, if only you had been here. So they still didn't understand what was about to happen. I don't think anybody could have. And so in verse 33, let's pick up with the story. It says, when Jesus saw her weeping, and it was talking about Mary, and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. Where have you put him? He asked. They told him, Lord, come and see. Then Jesus wept. He wept. The people who were standing nearby said, see how much he loved him. But someone said, this man healed a blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying? Right? And so in the midst of all this chaos, people wailing, people crying, people mourning, Jesus, what is he doing? It says this deep anger welled up in him. And it's not that he was mad at the people. That's not the use of the word here. It was like this deep anger when you know something isn't as it should be, and you're moved to action. You're moved to action. You're moved to do something for the situation because, why? Because you love the people involved so much. You see, this story lists the opinions of many people. Mary, Martha, the disciples, the general public, the Pharisees, all kinds of opinions. But there was only one voice, one opinion that really mattered. You know, I grew up in church, and I'm so blessed to have had the upbringing that I have. My dad was an amazing pastor, and he was in first service here. Amazing man of God. And I'm just so thankful for the legacy that he left in my life. You know, sometimes you hear about pastor's kids growing up and not really liking being a pastor's kid. I had the exact opposite experience. I loved it. I loved everything about it. And my parents did an amazing job of making sure that Jesus was the center of our home and teaching us his word and making it all about him. And I just could not be more lucky. But let me just tell you today, let me just tell you that even though I had all that, you know, I can really look back and think to myself, man, my circumstances were pretty on point. Got nothing to complain about. But even in all that, man, there's been so many times in my life where I just felt so alone. And I asked God very real and deep questions like, where are you? What's going on? I don't understand this. Where are you? And just like every other human that has ever walked the planet, there's been things as I grew up that I struggled with and I had to fight and I had to, you know, figure out how am I going to live for Jesus when I've got this sin that wants to overtake my life, right? What am I gonna do with this? And it doesn't matter who you are, you're probably gonna go through some times in life where you just feel completely, utterly helpless and alone, crying out to God, where are you? And when Jesus saw all these people wailing and weeping, and not only did his heart break for Lazarus, who was his friend in the tomb, his heart broke for the brokenness and the despair that people were carrying. Jesus's heart breaks for you today. Jesus's heart breaks for me when I'm in despair. And here's the best part. He's not content to leave you in your broken state. He's not content to leave you dead in your sin. He's not content to leave you in that place where you feel like you have no hope and no way out. He came to give us freedom. And so his love and this anger that it was talking about, it was welling up within him, moving him to act in the situation. So verse 38, let's finish this story. It says, Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb. A cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. Roll the stone aside, Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. Remember the whole mostly dead thing? No, he's all dead. And the smell is going to be terrible. Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? Remember, there's a bigger story. There's big questions, but there's real answers. And Jesus is about to drop some serious freedom. So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me. But I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here so that they will believe that you sent me. That's the bigger story. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a head cloth. And Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. Let him go. Man, there's so much that we can take away from this today. And at first it's like, whoa, wait, what just happened? What just happened? A dead man just rose from the dead. Yes, a dead man really just rose from the dead. Now, just so you have some context, Jesus, during his ministry, he actually raised 3 different people from the dead. Lazarus was one of them. And on the day that Jesus died on Calvary, when he died for the sins of all mankind, the Bible says that at that moment when he breathed his last breath, all kinds of amazing things happened. But one of the amazing things that happened is that multiple saints, we don't know how many, but multiple saints came out of their graves and walked around. Paul, the apostle that took Jesus's message all over the place and planted all kinds of churches, he raised one guy from the dead, and Peter, the apostle Peter, he raised another. And so we see this happening in Scripture. But obviously the point isn't that everyone who is physically living now will go on physically living forever. How do we know this? Because guess what? Lazarus, physically, he died again, right? It's kind of funny to think about, but it's true. at some point later, whether it was of old age or disease or who knows, after this day, Lazarus did breathe his physical last breath for the final time. But Jesus did this miracle and every other miracle he ever did to demonstrate the power that comes from knowing him. When he prayed, what did he say? That he was saying it out loud for all the people to hear so that they will believe that God sent him. And so just picture Lazarus, he comes out of the tomb wrapped in all these grave clothes, these linen strips of cloth wrapped tight. And not only that, but we know just from historical context that those grave clothes were soaked with around 75 to 100 pounds of aromatic resins, perfumed resins. And so not only was he probably waddling out of the tomb like a burrito from Chipotle wrapped super tight, right? Come on. Couldn't move, but he's got all this weight on him. He's got all this weight. And when you get called by Jesus to come out of your spiritual grave, you're probably coming with some weight, with some baggage, amen? But Jesus is like, get the death clothes off of him, unwrap him and let him go. Man, this is an amazing picture. I don't want it to pass you up today. Jesus came to give you freedom from what's weighing you down. The things you can't fix, the things you can't control, the things you can't overcome, the sin that is just weighing on your life, your guilt and your shame and all the stuff that you just makes you just want to lose your mind because you can't control it. Jesus wants to speak into your salvation or into your situation. And he wants to say to you today, hey, come on, let's take those grave clothes off. Amen. Let's take them off. You know, there's so many voices speaking into your life, so many opinions speaking into your situations. But in the end, only one voice mattered to a dead Lazarus. Only one voice really matters to you. For Lazarus in death, the only voice that mattered was Jesus's voice. It was the only voice that could call him back to life. Without Jesus's voice, Lazarus stayed dead. And the same is true for you and me spiritually. Without the voice of Jesus, we stay dead in our sin, dead in our questions, lacking a life of purpose, searching but never finding, accumulating things but never feeling satisfied. We keep carrying the weights. We keep waddling around with them. But guess what? You don't have to die today physically and go into a grave physically to get rid of your weights. Ephesians 2:5 says, but God is so rich in mercy. And he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. So through Jesus's life and resurrection, you get life. John 5:24, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death to life. And so when you give your life to Jesus, when you say yes to believing in him, when you say yes to the very purpose for which he came, even though you are physically still living, you step over from death, spiritual death, into life in Jesus' name. Amen? You become a new person. You become transformed from the inside out, regardless of how you feel. What's real for you today is the grace of a living God that loved you and sent his son to die in your place on a cross and give you freedom. Galatians 2:20 says, my old self, the old self with the grave clothes, with all the doubt, with all the, you know, just wanting to control everything all the time. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. It's time for somebody today, somebody here, to take the grave clothes off and step into the new life that Jesus has for you. You might not see the bigger picture. You might have big questions that are not yet answered, but Jesus came to give himself to you, to be the answer, and to set you free today. Amen? Amen. Bow your heads and close your eyes with me today. We're going to sing a song and just celebrate what Jesus does in our life here in a minute. But before we do that, I want to give you the opportunity to respond to what Jesus was trying to do when he was here on earth and what he's still trying to do through his Holy Spirit in your heart right now. You might have come in today with all kinds of questions that you can't get answered. But something about Jesus, something about his love for you, something about how, man, he just entered situations that were hard and he spoke life. Man, that's just hitting you just right today. And that's not because of me, that's not because of the songs, that's not because of anything except for God's Holy Spirit that right now is working in and on your heart and bringing you to Jesus. It's the only explanation. Because it could have been that before this moment, your heart was hard, your ears were closed, your mind was just not willing to hear the truth of God's word. But something has happened in your spirit today. There's a softening that's happening right now, and God is showing you who he really is. And now it's your time to step out of your spiritual grave, to step over from death to life, and to put your faith and trust in Jesus. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you today, with nobody looking around, and you just want to respond and say, I need Jesus. I want to follow him. I want to serve him. I want to put my life in his hands. I want to believe in him. If that's you today, I just want you to lift your head and just look straight at me. And I might not see every single one of you, but when you're looking at me, you're not looking at me. You're responding to Jesus, and I'm not him. And you say, Jesus, I need you. I need you to come into my life and help me to make sense of this life. Here's my heart. Here's my life. I give it to you. And so today, as one church, as one body, I want you to say a prayer with me. And we're all going to say it together with those of you that looked up today that want to give your hearts and lives to Christ. The Bible says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus rose from the dead, we'll be saved. It's by believing. It's by his grace, and it's by our faith that we're made right with God. And so we're going to do that together right now. So if you want to give your life to Christ today, repeat this prayer after me. Say, Jesus, come on, loud and proud. Jesus, I give my life to you. I believe that you died for me on the cross and that you rose again. I believe you are the answer for my life. From this day forward, help me to follow you, put you first, and live my life according to your word. Thank you, Jesus, for the new life that you're giving me now. Amen. Amen. Let's give those that gave their lives to Christ a huge hand today.
Thank you so much for joining us for today's message. We look forward to having you back next week.